Me there in the midst of it all, and just listen to this. It's in Acts 14 where it says, "Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." I think one of the great things that God shows himself to the people that he created is his providence. That through his providence, he has not left himself without testimony. And one of the great ways that God speaks to the world and speaks to the people who created is through his providence. So I think it's great you're celebrating and you take an evening to do that. And thanks for having us be a part of that as well. I do want us to focus on the story, great story that Martin read to us from Luke's Gospel, which is a great biography of Jesus, and wonderful to see in the Gospels the incarnational God who comes down and meets our needs, not just physically, but as we've clearly read about in that story, that he meets us at our greatest point of need. And it's an interesting story because we see straight off here from this story that great needs cause great distance. Great needs cause great distance. We read here about 10 men whom Jesus met, and we're told here it was between the border of Samaria and Galilee. And we need to understand that in the day and age of where Jesus was, the idea of leprosy was a very common skin disease. Probably more commonly known today as Hansen's disease. And in a sense, it was a form of skin cancer. But the problem was, in that day, they didn't have like we have in our modern health system, where we were able to put people in isolation wards. And quite often, the only way that sick people and healthy people could be not have diseases that would be contagious to each other was to keep them apart. And that's the only way they could do it. And it's interesting to note that these men who had leprosy, here's some verses in the Old Testament I want to read to you concerning this issue of leprosy and skin disease. And we read it in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 and verses 45 and 46. And we read, "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkept, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp." And that was the way they controlled this idea of diseases that were contagious. They kept the people apart. Now, I want you to picture this. When you picture people who not only have the anguish of having a skin disease that keeps them away from their families, attending services, going down to the local shop market, but also they had the sort of the inner turmoil of being isolated from people. And just think about the loneliness of that. They were people that just did not have any social contact at all. And here they must shout, as we read in Leviticus, that they had to shout those words unclean and keep their distance from people who were healthy because they just weren't allowed to come in contact. So not only were they diseased on the outside, which was visible and alienated them from society, but inside, they lived very lonely, lonely, desperate lives. Now, it's interesting in this story because we're told these 10 lepers were banded together. Now, I find that interesting because we're told there was 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. Now, normally, these people would keep apart from each other. We know that Samaritans hated Jews, and there was a prejudice there with their people. And normally they wouldn't even talk. They wouldn't associate with each other. It's interesting to me that when you have common denominators such as ill health, poverty, It has a way of breaking down barriers, has it not? Normally the things that keep people apart when it comes to issues like we have here, it has a way of bringing people together. Where normally these things would keep people apart. Now it's interesting that they met Jesus in that sense, that they came across and seen him, and Jesus was near. He was willing to help. He wanted to help these people. And it's interesting how we treat people with great needs in our modern day. In some ways, we can relate to this particular situation, can we not? Quite often when we see people maybe that have great needs, that maybe we tend to keep a great distance as well. Maybe we just don't want to get involved in the mess that entails with meeting people's needs. Maybe we just, people that we cannot relate to, and maybe physically we mightn't stay away from them, but maybe in our hearts and maybe in our minds we keep that distance between people. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't do that tonight? That as we read in this story, he's never far away. He's always willing to enter into the mess of things. He's always willing to go in where most people fear to go. That's the compassionate God we have. That's the incarnate God that we have, who comes down in the person of Jesus. And here we read in the story that Jesus' compassion goes far beyond what we ask, or what the lepers asked here. Because they called out in a loud voice, "Master, have pity on us." It's interesting that they had to shout this at Jesus because they couldn't come near him. And they just asked Jesus to have pity on them. This word is normally used in the sense that they wanted to ask Jesus for maybe something to eat or maybe for money. They didn't actually request healing, which is very interesting to me. And maybe they felt their lives were so hopeless that they were beyond help as far as their condition was. And maybe they just felt they could get some relief from this man, but maybe not what they ever dreamed that they were going to get. And of course, maybe they felt they were so much of social outcasts that really Jesus wouldn't bother his time or his energy to reach out to these people. But as I've already said to you, Jesus specializes in reaching outcasts. He's come to touch where other people don't touch. He comes to reach out. That's where he came. And they never believed what was going to happen. I might ask you that question tonight. What's going on in your mind with the particular need you might have tonight? Do you feel that Jesus maybe doesn't really know what's going on in your life? Or maybe it seems like he just doesn't have time for you? Or maybe it's always the big things that seems to be going on around you, and the great need that cries out and maybe with a louder voice seems to get the attention, but for your particular needs you feel, no, he doesn't really care about me. Well, maybe the lepers, and maybe we will be in for a surprise to realize that Jesus is very concerned about you. Just as he showed to these men that seemed to be a hopeless case. And Jesus' compassion, combined with his supernatural power, met the need of these people. And we see in verse 14 that Jesus used these words. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. And what a beautiful story this is of Jesus using his power. Some people have compassion, but they don't have the power. Maybe some people have the power and they don't have the compassion. Jesus' compassion and his power meet together to meet this need, this seemingly hopeless need that was before him. And of course, his testimony to go show yourselves to the priests was a reminder of two things, that the priests had to testify of the ones who were cleansed of leprosy. And they would be the ones who would give the medical health bill and check it off and say, all clear, you can enter society. But there's a little bit more going on here. The testimony that these priests would look and say, someone who is cured of leprosy demonstrates that someone special is among us. And the reality that God has visited his people in the person of Jesus is ringing through this text. And a reminder to the priests, someone very special is here. You see, they hadn't seen anyone cured of leprosy before. We see Nahum in the Old Testament, a very special case, who indeed was a non-Jew, but it hadn't happened before. So someone great is among them. And of course, the word that Jesus gave was, go show yourself to the priest, was also the idea that, were they going to obey him? Because it seems like in the act of their obedience, they were cleansed as they went. And you see, folks, that's what faith really is. It's always obeying God's word. It's always responding in faith to what God says. And faith in what he says, shown by obedience, is really what biblical faith is. It has echoes of the blind man here. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he goes over and washes, he comes back seeing. You see, it's always a bit of faith in what God has said. If we really believe it, we'll obey it. We'll apply it to our lives. And these men, as they were went, they came back seeing. Now, is gratitude determined by circumstances? I might ask that question because when I look at this text and read verses 15, I'm reminded, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm inclined to think, would not all of these lepers be jumping up and down? Would they not have, as they saw that they were cleansed and all of that thing that kept them isolated from people and a miserable life, not only in the outside but in the inside, would they not be jumping up and down and saying, wow, what a miracle. Look at what has happened. And you would think that, wouldn't you? But let's take a challenge here just for a minute. Is this experience not our experience? You know, I've noticed in life that when there is something you want but you don't have it, it tends to be the most important thing in your life that you want to get. And does not all of existence revolve around getting well, getting employed, getting married, getting a car, getting rich, or something else? And when most of us get what we want, we quickly move on to something else, do we not? The very thing we thought would really do it for us, we find it's something else we're looking for. No, I think our desire for more overwhelms our gratitude for what we already have. On the other hand, we can have very little and be very grateful. And the conclusion is, folks, that gratitude is not determined by circumstances, is it? It really isn't. We know it's a matter of the heart. Some people get what they want and they're grateful. Some people get what they want and they're ungrateful. Some people don't get what they want and they're grateful. Some people don't get what they want and they're ungrateful. It's an issue of the heart, is it not? If we go by the statistics here, 90% didn't come back to say thanks. 10% did, 9 didn't, and 1 did. But I suppose the tragedy in this story is that some were just satisfied with a miracle. Some were just satisfied with a miracle. Had you noticed what Jesus said? He said, "We're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise up. Your faith has made you well." Now, don't misunderstand me here. Jesus is not hurt in the sense that he felt rejected or he felt resentful that he didn't get a thank you card or didn't get a thank you note. No, it was that he had so much more for these 10 men, at least for these 9 men. And in a sense, this curing of leprosy was really only the beginning of what he wanted to do for them. He wanted to do so much more. And this miracle was only the beginning. But strangely and tragically, the 9 were just satisfied with a miracle. They didn't want anything more. It was enough for them. On they went. They moved on. And that's the sad thing in life, is it not? That so often we're just satisfied with what we have. We don't want anything more. We miss out on what God really has for us and what God wants for us. And we feel we've enough to get by, that's okay. I don't need anything more. And folks, there's something more going on in this story than just being healed of leprosy. We know by how this story ends, when Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well," that there was a deeper issue going on here. And it's not about what condition we are on the outside that matters, is it not? Quite often we're just satisfied with that. But it's really neglecting what we're like on the inside. And we must be reminded that although we see Jesus healing many diseases in the Gospels, it's always a picture of what he wants to do on the inside and how he wants to transform a life and have an encounter with a person that doesn't just satisfy them on the outside but changes their very soul and cleanses them on the inside. And folks, if we think leprosy was such a hideous thing in the first century that alienated people, we've got a far bigger problem in our modern time that alienates us from our Maker and our Creator. And leprosy points to a deeper issue of an inner condition we have called sin. Call that rebellion that goes on within us. We're born with it. It naturally comes out. But folks, it has separated us. It has alienated us from our Maker, from our Creator. It slowly but surely destroys us. It keeps us at a distance. Our great need keeps us at a great distance. But do you know, Jesus came. And he came to deliver us ultimately from that. And we must understand that Jesus wanted to bring these people to faith in himself. He wanted them to recognize who he is. And he wants us tonight to recognize who he is. That he's not just someone who has come to improve our life or make things better and life will be great and all is well. He's come to do much more than that. He's come to transform us on the inside. And folks, you see, there's a great reversal here because the unclean that became clean really points us to what Jesus did. And Jesus paid a great price to make us clean tonight. And the fact is, the clean, who is Jesus ultimately, became unclean. He was the one that was alienated. The one that had fellowship with his Father who always done what pleased his father, who lived in perfect fellowship with him, was alienated from him on the cross. And when he went on the cross, it was outside the camp, by the way. He was crucified outside, alienated from the people, even alienated from his own father. My God, why have you forsaken me? He couldn't even call God his father. And you see, on the cross, he became unclean. He became the voice that no one heard, no one listened. Ultimate loneliness. Ultimate tragedy. And he became that unclean. So you and me could become clean. Could be eternally connected with our Maker, with our God. And have that transformation. Not on the outside, on the inside, that will lead to transformation that will show on the outside. God works from the inside out. And this wonderful story reminds us that this one Samaritan, one unlikely, the one who was unlikely to come, this foreigner, as Jesus said, not the one who was born into all the blessings of Israel and that great privileged position with the Maker who called that nation his own, but rather one who recognized who was among him and cast himself at Jesus' feet and ultimately experienced that cleanliness of the soul. That forgiveness of sin, that is the real issue. And folks, that's our challenge tonight. I hope it's not that we come just with satisfied bellies or maybe something that we see God's great providence, but maybe tonight you might really see your need to say that, wow, it isn't about what's going on the outside with me, it's what's going on in the heart. Well, he has come to change that. And he is able, he has the compassion as he showed, but more importantly, he has the power to do that. And as Luke tells us later on in this story, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Folks, that's why he came. He came for lost people. To connect them to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story tonight, and we thank you for the reminder of your coming down, and we thank you for your compassion that you clearly show to the outcasts as these 10 lepers, hopelessly alienated from society and from you. And we thank you that through this demonstration of your power, Lord, your great power and your love, coming together to show what you can do ultimately. Lord, may we not be like the 9 who are just satisfied with what they have and fail to recognize who you are and what you've come to do. And Lord, we thank you that it is faith in you. Thank you for the Samaritan who demonstrates. It's not about trying to clean yourself up. It's not about trying to be good. It's not about going to church. It's about coming to Jesus and casting yourself at his feet, believing that he is the Savior and Lord of all. And Lord, thank you that that's all it is. It's faith in you, recognizing we don't have it. And turning to you in faith and recognizing you did it for us. Lord, thank you for that great message. May we not miss it tonight. May we see Jesus as he is. And we give him thanks from our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.